Acts chapter 2 is where I'd like us to turn. The end of account of Pentecost. And if you don't have a Bible, just raise a hand, because Wendy's got one and she'll be bringing it round. And can I just say, if you are here just visiting with us tonight, so wonderful to have you and to see you here. Welcome. My name's David, and it's great to have you here with us tonight. We're just turning to Acts chapter 2. This was something that God just brought to us as we were praying as elders, just being still before the Lord. God put it on Tim's heart and also a bit of it on my heart. And as I've been reflecting on it a bit more since then, there's just some things about this passage from verse 42 to 47 that I think, yeah, there's something about not just the Acts 2 church, the early church, but there's something about us that describes, and something that I long for it to describe even more. And so I just want to read it for us, and even maybe as we read it, just some things I want to draw out. So here we go. I'll read it all the way through once, and then I'll just read it again through and just make some, just a few observations as we come to the communion table together. They, that's about 3,000 of them who had come to Christ on the day of Pentecost, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves. Folks, we're Holland Road and the church in Acts 2. We're a devoted people. We're to be a devoted people. I look around and I see devoted people, devoted to the apostles' teaching. And what was the apostles' teaching kind of centrally about? Hey, Douglas, the apostles' teaching was centered on Jesus. And they were devoted to Jesus. They were devoted to the teaching of his death and his resurrection. What we come to celebrate tonight, that this one who came from heaven died for you and I, for our sins, so that we could be forgiven, so that the world could be saved. And he rose again, proving that what he had done had been acceptable, and that he'd conquered, and that he's alive. And so Peter's just declared, one of the apostles just declared, he's risen. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the things that Jesus had taught the apostles, that they should go and make disciples. They devoted themselves to his teaching that came through time and time again in Jesus' words, that they were to love one another. These things that are just hallmarks of what we long to be as a church, those that are following Jesus, reaching out, extended family, doing everything in love. They devoted themselves. They were devoted people. See, they broke bread together. One of the things we're going to do tonight as we come. But they weren't just a devoted people, they were a praying people. They were devoted to prayer. And I just want to say, one of the things I love about this church is the people who pray, the people who gather on Sunday to pray, the people who are praying before they come to the service, people who've been praying for tonight. Times we gather for prayer, those first Thursdays, first Sundays of the month. Just very sweet times. I'm looking forward to that prayer week that I was talking about this morning on the beginning of November, the 2nd to the 9th. And I just want to say, guys, it's an amazing opportunity we have to be a people who give ourselves to prayer. It's one of the things we talk about as elders, being those that devote ourselves to prayer. You pray. It's a wonderful BBC program. I don't know if you saw it the other week. Someone told Laura about it. In fact, a few people told Laura about it, said, David's going to love this program. You should get him to watch it. So on my day off, Laura said, yeah, you've got to sit down and watch this. It was called Marvelous. It's about this guy with some learning difficulties, but boy, does he have a rich life. Faith and friends and ability to ask people for things, expecting that they'll do it, that they'll be kind. And one time someone asks him and says, hey, you know, you just can't go around, you know, asking people for stuff and expecting them to do it. And he says, oh, I can. And I thought, guys, you know, God has said ask. These people knew what it was to come and ask. A praying people, but an expectant people. Look what it says here. Everyone was filled with awe. They were kind of all filled at what God was doing. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. One of the things we sensed as we were just meeting as elders this week is that, guys, we should be expecting God's doing stuff and he's able to do even more. Raise your expectation levels of what this God can do. This one we've come to worship tonight. He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Be expectant, folks. God's alive. He's at work. Look for what he's doing and join him in it. Says this, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They were a united people. Look around and I see a wonderful bunch of brothers and sisters. And, you know, the unity we have as a church is something very, 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 very precious. God loves it. Someone told me tonight, they said, David, it was a wonderful little picture this morning of Joseph Vellacott and Jonah playing together in the hall. And they said, if you didn't know, you'd think they were brothers. And I just thought, you know what, they are, really. Because we're family. We're united. And isn't that a wonderful thing? United people. And I think, you know, that's not just actually true for us as Holland Road. We had a wonderful time. Phil Cook, Tyler from Church on the Rock, or now Center Church in Kemp Town, and Julian from New Life, and Andrew Edwards from Oasis. And we've been meeting about once a month just to pray together. We kind of want to partner more together and feel that God's just knit our hearts. And we have great partnerships too with churches like St. Peter's and CCK and City Coast and other places like that. And but you know, there's just something special that God is doing as we're praying. It just felt like a really holy moment. Like covenanting together, saying, you know, we're united as brothers in Christ to see the city, one for him. And you know, we're together. All the believers in Jerusalem, they were together. And it's a wonderful thing. They were, let's read on. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Wow, they were a generous people. This is a generous people. And I love the generosity of Holland Road. And I just read this and I think, hey, what, you know what? There's even more generosity we can explore and go into. How exciting is that? One of the things we're going to be looking at tonight and praying into and talking about at our church meeting after this is it's just the work of CAP, Christians Against Poverty, helping those in need, helping those get out of debt. And I've been looking at just that appointment of a new center manager. And, you know, God's at work through this ministry. And it's one of the wonderful things that God's put on our heart, those in need. It's a good, godly thing. Because we're to be a generous people. And you know what we are? Praise God. And that's the work of his Spirit. But you know what? There's even more for us to discover of the generous heart of God. Much more. And there was something here that massively inspired. I was just thinking, as I was reflecting on this, that they were a people at that early church for whom people mattered more than stuff. They used stuff to serve people, not people to serve stuff. Hey, you know what? We need more of that in our Western world, as I was saying this morning. And giving people, generous people. People doing life together. I want to read on here. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And it was just something. If they were doing life together, they were doing life together in wonderful ways. In sometimes in bigger settings like the temple courts, where a kind of whole bunch of them, I guess, could gather. But you know, there were other times where they were meeting each other in their homes and sharing meals together and breaking bread. And that's a wonderful picture again of what God's put on our heart. That we see the importance of the kind of times where we're like a big lake where we can say others come to it and find life and life-giving water. But you know what? We need to be those rivers going out as well. Bringing life to people. And just that sense of doing life together. I want to say it's a privilege doing life with you. And some of you, I have the privilege as you're part of my community of doing kind of a bit more intensely that life out into this area. And that's another wonderful thing that God's put on our hearts. And again, in a moment, we'll break bread here. But you know, you can break bread in your homes, with your families, with your community. encourage you, do it. Special moment of just celebrating God's presence amongst you and your good news to those around. And then there were people who saw God regularly at work. And the Lord, because it's his work, added to their number daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah. One of my prayers for Brighton and Hove, God, today, every day, be saving people. At least one person, adding them to the church. If you're here today, maybe for the first time, so good to see you. Welcome. Come join us. Come not just join us as a church, as a people here. Hey, God has got his arms wide open. He's saying he loves you. It's for you, and he died for you, where you need saving and rescuing, and all of us do. We all need his grace. He comes and says, here, I want to save you, I want to help you. And this meal we're about to share in, it's a very special, simple meal, of picture of Jesus' body broken and his blood shed, of meal of remembrance of his death and his resurrection, that he's now reigning in all power and authority and is one day coming back. This is a meal which is a sign of us saying, yeah, we're taking hold of Christ. Maybe for the first time, or maybe again reminding ourselves that we're receiving his grace. We've needed his salvation. If you're here and a visitor and you want to say tonight, hey, you know what, I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I need his grace, his forgiveness. Hey, come to this table of life and grace and receive. Come join us. This is for you. No matter what you've done, there's grace, there's forgiveness if you will humble yourself and say, hey, I need this. But you know what? If you're part of this church, you know we're a church that's all about grace. About what God has done for us and how we need to stay in that and show it to others. We need that truth that all of us need grace to go hand in hand. And so we come again and share together and say, praise you, Jesus, for all you've done for us. Nick and I were just talking before this time, and just as we come to share in this meal together, Nick just said, you know, one of the wonderful things about this meal is that Jesus is alive, he's risen, and he's there giving life to people today, now. It's a meal of life. This Jesus, this living one, says, I forgive you. You're forgiven. As you receive, hear his voice, you're forgiven. You're forgiven your sins. You see, sin leads to death. Sin in our lives, even this week, be destroying our lives. Jesus comes and says, I don't want that for you. I want life. Come, receive life. Come, be forgiven. So let's just pause. In this moment of stillness before we share in this very special meal, maybe just search your heart and just confess anything that you know is getting between you and Jesus. Maybe there's some specific things. Maybe there's a whole bunch of things and you just seem to say, Lord, my life's a mess. Sinned in so many ways. I need your grace, your forgiveness. I need you, Jesus. Jesus said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we might be that people, all those different things that he's called us to be. To do that, we need his Spirit. Chapter comes at the end of Pentecost. They couldn't do those things without his Spirit. And so, God, we invite you, maybe just even ask, Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Fill us, Lord. It's a church to overflowing. More of you we need. And so the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. Eat. Receive. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his Spirit. That we might be the people he's called us to be. And let's do that in faith with thankfulness in our hearts. And if those who are serving could just come and serve us now. As you receive the bread, if you believe in Jesus and want to receive this grace, break a piece off and eat it as you receive it, and then we'll be served with a cup after that.